The word today is morning star. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. Among all the stars, the morning star is the brightest. It can be seen by everyone on the earth. In Scripture, Jesus is called the morning star. How appropriate. He is the greatest, and he is available for all people. Here from our archives with more about this name is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Morning Star.
Last week we talked about the fact that the one true God, the God who has revealed himself in his Son, Jesus Christ, who came to die on the cross in our place to pay for our sins, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the one true God, is a God of love. Now, you know, prior to the coming of Jesus Christ and prior to the writing of the Bible, I'm sure all the people in the world prior to that feared God. As a matter of fact, if you go way back to the beginning of the world and to the first civilizations, or go way back to the Egyptian empires, and go way back into ancient history, and you'll see people were fearful of God. As a matter of fact, the Indians, for instance, would try to make sacrifices and try to do enormous feats to appease God in some way so that he wouldn't destroy them. And you remember in the Egyptians, you know, they used to say, now this is many decades ago when I was in high school, they said that the reason there were trapdoors and secret passageways and dead ends and so on in the pyramids was that they were trying to prevent the tombs from being robbed. Well, I'm sure that was partly true. And people didn't know much about Egyptology way back then. But as I got older and I began to travel, and I've been to Egypt a number of times, I've been up inside of those pyramids and seeing the sarcophaguses, which are the, well, we would call them caskets today, in which these pharaohs were buried. I began to learn more of the accurate history of why those secret passageways are in the pyramids and so on, and why there are like trapdoors. You hit a certain spot, and if you trip the mechanism, so to speak, the sand would begin to pour out, and a 2,000-pound rock would fall from its channel and squish you and kill you and so on. I began to understand and hear more and more that this was because the Egyptian people felt that their pharaohs were deities. They kind of worshiped them as gods, and they thought that during the daytime they didn't see him around anywhere, so they were content in their tombs. But what about at night? And they had a suspicion that at night these deities would come out and intervene in their lives and mix in with the people and so on, and they certainly didn't want that. They wanted to keep him out of their lives, and so they would put in the pyramids dancing girls, they would put servants in there, they would put food in there, they would put boats in there, they'd put all kind of things in there, musical instruments. They wanted the pharaoh, their king or their god, they wanted him to be content in there, so he'd stay in there. But if he even tried to get out, all these secret passageways and everything would prevent him. And so that's the true story of what's behind some of those religions way, way back. Now, take a look today. Any pagan religion today, including the cults, any false teaching about God begins with the premise that we have to fear God. Oh, boy, and you better try to act right. You better try to do what's good if you want to earn any favor with God, otherwise you could be squished too. And so the importance of God sending his Son Jesus is to reveal to us that God is a God of love. And Jesus certainly proved that to us by telling us the will of his Father. You know, one of the beautiful things I like to do in the study of the Holy Scriptures is to take a look at the many different names for Jesus. There are just dozens of them, literally, in the Old and New Testament, and I just love to study them and to think about what they mean and so on. Now one of them for Jesus that's mentioned in Revelation, the revelation of St. John toward the end of the New Testament, in the third chapter, verse 14, it speaks about Jesus as the morning star. I just love that. I just love that. That's one of my favorite names for Jesus, the morning star. We know several things using that analogy for Jesus about the morning star. One thing is that the morning star in the heavens is the brightest of all the stars. Isn't that a beautiful depiction, a beautiful description, a beautiful analogy to think of Jesus Christ as the brightest star? In other words, you could say the chief, the most important, the most brilliant star. And, you know, the thing about the star, it's not just in the sky in certain places in the world. In other words, that just you in America or you in Australia or you in China can see it. But in the heavens are available for all peoples in the entire world, certainly at different times in the day and so on. Certainly the movement is there, but the morning star can be seen from anywhere in the world. I love that because it's a reminder again that Jesus Christ can be seen. If there's someone there to teach the Bible, someone there to teach the truth about God, they will know that Jesus Christ is for everyone, not just certain races or certain people or certain nationalities, but for everyone. Jesus Christ came to be the Savior for the entire world. And he died on the cross for all sins. Anyone who comes to him can be saved. Anyone who repents and seeks his forgiveness has the assurance that they will never be turned down. They will have the forgiveness of Jesus. And when Christ is living in their heart and they nourish that faith, which we call faith and the belief in Jesus, that faith is eternal, that faith is without end, that faith is total and perfect. Forgiveness is total and perfect. You don't need anything else. That is the way of eternal life. That is the way for all mankind to be saved and to come to know Jesus as their personal Savior. And this all is premised on the fact that God is a God of love, and Jesus proved that. So great is his love that he paid the price for our sins so that now we don't need to go to hell. We don't need to have eternal suffering and punishment because he paid the price. And it was completely and totally fulfilled by him, and his Father accepted it in payment for our sin. So now we have ahead of us eternal life without end, perfect joy, peace, happiness. There will be no tears in heaven. Just this beautiful, beautiful awareness that Jesus is our Savior. You know, there's another reference, and it's actually in the third chapter of St. John's Revelation at the end of the New Testament. It's at verse 14. Revelation 3, verse 14, a name for Jesus is called Amen. Amen. That kind of, I think the root word comes from a Hebrew word, aman. And once in a while, you hear people say amen, amen, instead of amen. It doesn't matter how you pronounce it. The word being translated into the English language means something like a confirmation to establish it as being true. As a matter of fact, Luther, when he tried to translate it into German, said amen means yes, yes, it is true. It's a confirmation. It is a statement of saying whatever has preceded this is true, and I acknowledge that by saying amen. In fact, once in a while, like in our congregation, we will shout the amen. We will not just say, oh, an amen, as though it's the end of the sentence or something. We want it to be an affirmation. We want it to be a declaration of saying, we believe this is true, and we believe it emphatically. Amen. This is true. And again, I say, amen. And that's the way we want it to be understood. Now, as it is in a reference to the name of Jesus, it is wrapping everything up in Jesus and saying, in him, everything has become true. Our forgiveness, positively guaranteed. Our assurance of salvation, positively guaranteed. Our peace, complete. Not just partial, but complete. Our joy, you can talk about anything that God gives his people. In joy, it's not just once in a while or occasionally. It is complete peace, complete joy. Freedom from fear. Think of the fear we talked about that the world who doesn't know Christ and the world who doesn't know the true God, think of the fear they have. They don't know what's going to happen to them, and they're concerned, boy, if I get what I deserve, I'm not going to make it. And so there's all this fear. Think of those who know Jesus and have found in him their personal salvation and the certainty that they're saved. There's complete peace, not just partial peace or once in a while, temporarily, but complete peace, a peace that passes all understanding. You can't explain it intellectually. It means that God has given us peace in our heart and rest of knowing we are saved. We don't have to wonder about where we're going after we die. If you know Jesus Christ and trust in him, you know you're forgiven, and if you're forgiven, you know you have eternal life. It's guaranteed. God promises that, and he keeps his promises. So all of these names for Jesus, we've looked at many of them in the past months. They all remind us that God is a God of love. He keeps his word. He will take us after our life here is over on earth to live with him eternally in heaven.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.